Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. In his latest effort to reverse the policies of former President Barack Obama, President Donald Trump traveled to Little Havana in Miami today and announced that he is restoring some travel and trade restrictions with Cuba. Trump will reimpose a prohibition on Americans traveling there and bar U.S. travelers and companies from doing business with companies controlled by the Cuban military.
The previous administrations easing of restrictions on travel and trade does not help the Cuban people. They only enrich the Cuban regime.
For Reaction Now, we're joined by Micho Spring. She's chair of global corporate practice and president of the New England region for the communications firm Weber Shandwick. And Micho, good to have you back on Radio Boston.
Good to be here.
And with us here in the studio is Harvard professor Jonathan Hansen. He's currently working on a biography about Fidel Castro and travels frequently to Cuba. Jonathan Hansen, good to have you in. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much.
So we just heard Donald Trump talking about canceling aspects of Obama's Cuba policy. Micho, let me start with you. What's your reaction? What did you hear?
This policy reversal just makes change harder in Cuba. You know, the Cuban government has not responded to pressure from the U.S. for 56 years, and no question that many of us wish that the Obama policy had brought about more change. But although the government hasn't changed, Cuban society is changing, and this will definitely slow that down. I mean, 40% of the Cuban workforce is now in the private sector, with many of them benefiting from the 500,000 Americans who visited Cuba last year and the many more who are visiting this year. Airbnb hosts reportedly earned $40 million by hosting many of these travelers in their home. That will now slow down considerably, and it'll just chill the slow progress that, albeit slow, was being made.
Jonathan Hansen, I'd love for you to chime in here. Tell me what you observed in Cuba in your recent trips and how you think this new reversal of policy will affect that.
Yeah, sure. First, let me say that I agree with Micho 100%. And I found this a very strong speech for a very particular audience, that is the audience of those Miami Cubans, Cuban-Americans in Miami. I was also struck by it, how Trump inevitably in his policy sort of returns to the past. In this case, international diplomacy is a series of U.S. orders. He says that we hold all the cards. At the same time, he talks about making a better deal, but usually deals are made reciprocally in collaboration with others, not as a set of orders. So I think this was a real throwback to, well, it's not a throwback for Trump, but it's a throwback to another era of U.S.-Cuban relations.
Yeah. What about the central argument here? And that is the Trump administration says that Obama's policy toward Cuba didn't work because repression on the island increased. And by some measures, that can be backed up. According to the Cuban Commission for Human Rights and National Reconciliation, there has been more repression on the island. I'll start with you, Jonathan. Is that concern at all valid?
Well, I mean, first of all, what is the pace of change that we expect when we initiate new policies? When the United States initiates a policy, do we expect others to fall immediately in line? Change takes time. Cultural change takes time. Political changes take time. Micho alluded to changes happening in Cuba. There are Cubans who are benefiting from Obama's policies. There are Cubans who are benefiting from Clinton's policies, and the privatization is happening across the island. I've seen change in Cuba over the last 4 or 5 years, even before Obama began to do this. Civil society is slowly opening up, political society less so. But changes are happening in Cuba, and they'll go on.
Micho Spring, I want to ask you, Weber Shandwick received a license from the U.S. Treasury to open an office in Cuba. You've been advising clients about Cuba for many years. Does what Trump announced today change any of that?
Oh, it makes it so much more cumbersome. No question about it. Look, our best hope for Cuba is not necessarily to hope that the regime changes, but it's to empower a new generation of entrepreneurs. And we need to empower that generation to have a stake in the future of Cuba and bring about change from the inside. That's our best hope. And that's what slowed down. It's interesting because in his rhetoric, he's talking about really wanting to benefit the Cuban people. And that's exactly what Obama's policy did. We all wish that the government changed more, and the human rights violations have been terrible. But I think our best hope is really to empower that new generation, which is very much committed to changing their economic future. And all that income is coming from tourists from the U.S., which is now going to be slowed down considerably.
And Jonathan Hansen, not too long ago, Donald Trump was in the Middle East, and he did all he could do to avoid a conversation about human rights in countries like Saudi Arabia. Here he was in Cuba talking about, we're making this change to enforce human rights.
Right. I mean, obviously the irony of that speaks for itself. I can't add a lot more to that. I just want to speak a second to what Micho was talking about, the Cuban people. It's very interesting that that Trump evokes the Cuban people in this speech so much, but the Cuban people are almost wholeheartedly in favor of President Obama's changes. I've been to Cuba in the last 5 years, roughly 18 to 20 times. And I met one or two people opposed to the rapprochement that Obama initiated. So, I'm with Micho. I think if we want to open Cuba up, if we want to promote civil society, entrepreneurship, it's the more people we send down there, the more Americans, Cubans meet, and the more Cuban and American interactions we have, the better.
Mm. Yeah, and just the headline today is going to send chills, you know, on a whole cohort of people who are eager to go experience Cuba, right? I mean, it's just going to make it that much harder.
Now, can I just add one other thing?
Yes, please do.
You know, I think that this is in balance bad for Cubans. I also think it's in balance bad for the United States. I know that there are many in the Trump administration that were opposed to this, in the National Security and Intelligence Agencies, for example. At risk here, if Cuba starts to clam up, are the kinds of cooperation we've had between the national security agencies, drug interdiction projects, the Coast Guard, many, many other kinds of cooperation that have happened before Obama's initiative, but are continuing today.
Micho, I also think that we've got to take into account that there is a transition coming. I mean, Raul Castro has explicitly said he's stepping down in 2018. And the more civil society that we can help build before that, the better that transition will be for people who are hoping for a free Cuba.
Micho, we just have a few seconds left, but I just want to ask you one more question. You were born in Cuba. You fled when you were 10 years old with your family. You traveled to Havana with President Obama last year. I remember talking to you on this program about that. How are you feeling today?
Oh, so disheartened. I mean, Obama said when he opened that speech that he was there to bury the last remnant of the Cold War, and it's just reared its head again today. It's just going backwards, and it's very, very discouraging. My only hope is that the forces that have been unleashed and the hope that has been planted in Cuba in this whole new generation will continue, because the desire by that generation for a better economic future is so strong.
Well, Micho Spring heads the New England region for the firm Weber Shandwick and chairs the firm's global corporate practice. Micho Spring, always good to have you.
Thank you.
And Jonathan,
nice to be with you.
And Jonathan Hansen, professor at Harvard University, his forthcoming biography of Fidel Castro is called Young Castro. Jonathan Hansen, wonderful to have you too.
Thanks very much.
I'm Anthony Brooks. Stay with us. There's more ahead. This is Radio Boston.